Okay, turn to Revelation 21, I believe, verse 9. I want to do an intro to what the Lord really... No, verse 19, yeah. I said verse 19. No, excuse me. Revelation 19, verse 9. I pull my titles up on Monday when I write The Secret Place, my little weekly blog, and then I pull the titles for the Sunday, and most of the time I'm pretty close to where I know I'm going. But on Friday, the Lord just began to download some real collectiveness, connecting dots type revelation about calling and inheritance. That's huge. I want to get into that. But my title was, you know, the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, which is really the same thing. But I'd like to start there, and then I'd like to launch into what I just felt the Holy Spirit dropping in. Is that okay? You wouldn't know if I told you. You wouldn't know where I was going anyway. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Yes. Holy Spirit, you are glorious. You are the one given to us. You live here on the planet. I'm grateful for that. You're omniscient, omnipresent. You are available all the time, and now you live inside us. Hallelujah. Would you make known to us the things that you're saying? Even as Jesus, when he spoke in the book of Revelation to John and the vision on the Isle of Patmos, he said, who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Holy Spirit, we want to hear you. Help us to hear and to respond in that, coming under the sound of your voice and the movement that you're bringing. Let it bring us to you, each of us individually and collectively as a people, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, I love the marriage supper. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. This was the angel that was escorting John through the vision. Now John is overwhelmed inside the vision and has got to worship someone. And it seemed the angel wasn't appropriate, you know, like I'm just overwhelmed inside of this experience. And the angel says, no, don't do that, because I'm your fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The angels are here to serve us who have the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, or you could say the testimony of Jesus is our future. So turn with me to John 3. I just want you to see this. This helped me so much about 5 years ago to understand what to value when things come. You know, information's coming all the time. God's talking continually. He has a conversation he'd like to engage you in. It's the same one he was doing yesterday, and most likely the week before and the month before that, and it's leading to a desired end that he has, and he's just trying to pull us inside that conversation. And John 3, John the Baptist was discussing with his disciples this new upcoming minister called Jesus, who was taking away all their disciples, and they were kind of a little upset. And then he was saying, no, don't worry about it. I've done my part. Now Jesus is going to do his. But he says of Jesus in verse 31, John 3:31. He who comes from above is above all. And he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. So let's establish two truths. If we are of the earth, meaning that if we are resourcing through the resource of the earth, we will speak of the earth or from the earth. If we resource or accessing the things of heaven, the living Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the experiences we have in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that is where the sound is coming. Jesus came from heaven, born of a virgin, living as a man, completely a man, by faith had joined himself in agreement with the Father's declaration that he was indeed a son. By faith, he held that truth to be so, while everything around him would contend against that beautiful union of sonship. He was the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. He was unique, no one else like him, and he held this testimony, or this what he saw and heard. He did not bring this information with him to heaven from heaven to earth, because then he would have been sitting in the manger with resources that none of us have when we are first born. He was completely dependent upon his Father in heaven to oversee his protection and movement through life, and his Father on earth, Joseph and Mary, to follow the leadership of Father in heaven to keep him moving. And he came to know, he came to discover and to behold and to read. And yet, can you imagine the first day he was prompted by Holy Spirit, "You're the Son of God. You're the one that we spoke of, the virgin birth. That's your mom told you the story. It's true. It is you. It was you. It is you." And his heart said, "It is me. I believe." Understand that. If he did not have the same testing of faith that you and I have to choose to believe, then he could not be a merciful high priest, having been tested and tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. By faith. So now he begins to have a conversation, and it becomes really alive at his bar mitzvah. He's in Jerusalem. He's engaging with the leaders of the temple. He's conversing, asking questions, recognizing answers, and he's just growing up. And now at age 30, he's introduced into public ministry through the water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit follows. He's led into the wilderness where he's tested again about his identity. If you are the Son of God, Satan asks him three times with three different scenarios, and he needs to prove. And yet the truth of the kingdom is that you don't ever prove anything to the devil. Don't engage in the conversation and don't try to prove what he's asked, challenging, accusing you. Give him the word, and that's what Jesus did. Now he's emerging in ministry. His ministry is now eclipsing John the Baptist. Disciples are following out of John's camp into Jesus' camp. His Jesus' disciples are water baptizing people, following the pattern that was already established. Patterns always overlap. As new things come, they enter into the old pattern until they begin to form their new pattern. And John is making these statements that he is from heaven. And he, earlier in the chapter, he talked about how he knew he was heaven because of the testimony God had given about to watch for the one whom the Spirit would descend. But now he's saying, okay, this is what he's doing, what he sees and he hears. Can we go back to that verse, Rachel? What he sees and he hears, verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. The testimony of Jesus that you and I carry is what we have seen and heard of him. Okay? How many, have you seen and heard anything of Jesus? How many, raise your hand if you've seen and heard anything of Jesus. In the Bible, in a good message, on a good song, a good worship. That's your testimony. That's the testimony of Jesus. That's your future. That's the spirit of prophecy. That's how you access where you're going. That's how you find what's coming, is this experience of seeing and hearing. You can take your New Testament and you can discover a massive correlation and support of Scripture about this being the means into which we all become what we're called to be, is to see and hear. To have the blinders taken off our eyes and to behold in the glory Jesus. And as we behold the glory, we're transformed into the glory we behold. It's just huge. So he's seen. So he's the only begotten Son. He's carrying identity no one believes. It's always constantly challenged. And no one is receiving his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. The word certified is the word for seal, like putting a seal on something, or certify, like we certify an election. We have come into agreement with. So now the testimony of Jesus is being believed. And those who believe the testimony are certifying that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now, the beautiful thing is that today that's the same thing for the body of Jesus. If we will but believe and walk in a union with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the Word and Jesus, is that we're not given a measure of the Holy Spirit. Not give a little piece over to Diane, a little piece over, you know, it's John. You got the whole Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's the reason you and I are going to be hearing God speak, because that's what Holy Spirit does. He likes to talk. Yeah. He's a jolly talker. He's a happy man. If he's not a man, but he's happy. His presence is large and in charge. He thinks he owns everything because he does. He can access anyone because he can. And he can do anything because Jesus did everything. He's just so large and in charge, and therefore so happy, full of joy and full of hope and full of optimism. And so he's speaking. And if we can be hearing that, stay tuned in that frequency. Again, we have to learn to like his music, because he doesn't necessarily play our music. He doesn't do, he now and then will kick into an old sad song just to help get us connected to him. But what he's really into is glory songs and what Christ has done, because his whole mission is to glorify Jesus. So now this Spirit who's on us, is we're hearing God speak, and therefore these words are coming. For the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So let's fast forward to resurrection. Romans 8, please. I just saw these. I have known forever, because it's in the scripture, that the key to our life in this planet and to all eternity is inside our calling and our inheritance. And I've journeyed with that under truth without really having always the fullness of how these things function. And often when I say to someone, you've just got to stay alive inside your calling and be assured of your inheritance. And those are like words that are foreign almost in our day-to-day life, because not everyone is aware they have an inheritance and they're not sure of who they are called to be in their natural life, as well as because of this nebulous belief that we're touching someone we can't see and kind of waiting till we get there and then it all unfolds. We don't realize that this is accessible today to be assured of, to live from an identity of sonship and to follow God in assurance of an inheritance. So when I saw, I was surfing, that's meditating at times, but I heard the Lord begin to talk to me about airship. And he said, and it's over here in Romans 8, verse 14. Let's begin here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. That is the key maturity test. If you're looking for a litmus test of believers and non-believers, which is impossible because we don't ourselves have the ability to judge a heart, but if you want to know about your own heart, to be a believer, a son of God, it is recognized that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. You have begun to listen to someone other than self. You've even had to tell your soul at times, shut up and follow Jesus. You have come to hear a voice other than your own internal voice. You've had an experience that revealed Jesus Christ, and he has said to you, follow me. And you don't know where you're going, but you know you're going. You're trying to find him, and he almost plays hide and seek, it feels like, but you still know that he's not hiding from you, and you're in pursuit of him. And as many as are led by the Spirit are sons, weos, matured sons who carry authority and can rule in their father's house. So remember that. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's how we were born into the earth, and how we kind of enter into our relationship with God, as we carry the residue of slavery, fear, and that we're good as we are accepted as long as we perform, and our place is here because of what we do, and that just kind of transfers into our relationship with God. We know we're born again. We know we're forgiven. We know it isn't our righteousness that got us into a relationship with God. But now we kind of feel we need to be righteous, and we need to live right, and we need to maintain this relationship, and so we flow back into the old mindset of slavery. But while that's happening, something wonderful is happening, that the Holy Spirit's inside of us immediately, and he's saying, Abba, 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 Father. How did your children learn to say daddy? They just one day come up with the idea, hey, you look like a daddy. Mommy, you look like a mommy. No, you programmed them. From the beginning of their, when you hold them in your hand, before you're talking in their mommy's tummy over there, daddy loves you. I am daddy. Can you say daddy? And then if you're like Cammy and I, we have contests. Who says daddy first or who says mommy first? And they go, mama, he said daddy. Mama, mama, yeah, that's mommy. Because we are calling out identity. May I say this to you? No one can give identity but God. You cannot. But here's the problem that we're in. The world is seeking identity from every place other than God. And now they have more access to identities other than God. It's creating such chaos in their mindset. But it's only Papa that can give us our identity. Son. You're my son. Jesus begins his ministry with a public affirmation. You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Sonship. So we're immediately being called out of slavery. God never forces you out of slavery. He beckons you into freedom. And we have to step into that freedom by faith. You know, I'm not a slave. I'm a son. You know, I can't get kicked out of the family because my daddy, I've been born into this family. I'm not here by how well I'm doing. I'm here because I'm connected to Jesus. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. We can't be separated. I'm a son. And there is so much liberty that will come. If that's a new thought to you, practice that statement in the presence of God and see him go, yes, you are. You sure are my son. See, everything I'm teaching, and I was telling Cammy this week, it's not fair. If you come and hear me and then don't go take what I say and practice it in prayer, either it will be foolishness to you or you just won't connect, because it has to be processed in the presence, in the spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, where God is celebrating these sounds. You're not going to get this at home at the water cooler at work. You probably won't even get it on the internet because it's looking this way. But if you go into the presence and you begin to process and you say, Daddy, I want to hear Abba. I want to hear Abba, Father. And I'm going to say, I am your son. I want to hear you say, you're my father. That's the beginning of identity. And it can start when you're 90 or 9. But when it starts, it is what will be warred over, and it is what is the most vital truth that we will apprehend while we walk. Without this apprehended truth, all the other stuff will function under a slave mentality, and therefore it will give a false identity. And your identity will be, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a CEO, or I'm a janitor, I'm a garbage collector, And which is so wrong, because I probably will get next service before I can get into how your inheritance is activated. And here's the good news. It has nothing to do with what you do as a task, as an assignment on the planet. It is everything about how you do whatever you're doing with your heart toward him. It is. You are in full-time ministry if you do whatever you do as unto Jesus. And you're doing nothing but a job, even if you're in a church and you work full-time, if it's just a job. Everything has to be done heartily as to the Lord, knowing that he has our inheritance. Now, but I'm jumping ahead. He who received the Spirit, we received the Spirit of adoption, will reap cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, not my soul and not my flesh. And you'll learn that as you practice this, which we'll go to Hebrews 5 in a minute, not yet. You'll learn that your soul isn't always going to get affirmed. And often we want to affirm, I need a soul affirmation moment. And, you know, God likes to affirm all of us. He says, you're sweet, you look good. But when he really wants to take you somewhere, he can't let it be by the soul. The soul will mess up because the soul is in a self-preservation mode just from the fact that it is riddled in fear. So he has to affirm your spirit, which is something we most of us weren't aware of really alive unless we were spiritual people in other spiritual functions. We might have been aware of spirit. But for a lot of us, it's kind of coming alive. So the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit, you're a son of God, you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you're a son. This word children is technon, means you were born into the family of God. It means you're born into the family. It isn't that you've matured inside the family, but you're in the family. And if you're children, then heirs. Heirs of God. If you do nothing more with your life but just occupy time and space and show up at church, you will not be denied your heirship with God. You are a son of God. Oh, not by merit, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now we're set to come into a whole level of reign and rule and joint heirship, but that's what we're all walking through right now. Children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, we are concerned about global warming and the whole climate catastrophe and issues, but the truth is the Bible says the earth's going to burn up. And the only thing that's going to save the earth is the sons of God reveal. That doesn't mean you shouldn't sort your garbage right and don't make a big carbon footprint. I believe in caring for the land. In fact, it says in Revelation 15 that when Jesus comes to judge the earth, one of his issues when he starts to set is those who abuse the planet. So I'm not talking about planet, you know, free to do whatever because it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, we used to think in the 70s, just run up your credit card because I'm leaving soon. Let the Antichrist pay my bill. Funny thing is, when are the sons of God going to grow up? When are the children of God going to mature and become weos, sons of God? And you say, well, I don't know. How do we? Well, it's really simple and really awful and really awesome. Starts with identity of God speaking to you, sonship. Then you're escorted by Holy Spirit into testing where the devil challenges your identity through accusation and circumstances. While you and I make choice and make choice, learning that, you know what, I'm starting to discover I'm just a son of God all the time, no matter what's going on. And my God loves me, and my papa loves me, and he's speaking to me, and he's releasing identity to me. How God releases identity is he makes a promise to you. You read your Bible one day, and something comes alive, and you just go, wow, I think I'm going to underline that. I'd say probably 99.9% that is a God promise for you, and it's forever. And it was not meant to be just like an encouraging moment. It was meant to be an exploratory opportunity. It was a launching to a pilgrimage of life. We don't understand that. We're not told that we should just go into the scripture and fully and experience what it's being said and study and learn and grow, not intellectually but experientially, not mentally but spiritually. And then when we do, we get hit with such opposition that it's kind of like, I don't want to touch that, or I lose my idea. It's like, okay, I came in the revelation of tithing, and the first week my washer breaks, and then the car breaks. And you kind of, the devil wants to say, look, God isn't helping you. He just wants you to get you so occupied in your stuff that you lose the word that was being spoken. Every word that comes gets challenged. Unless it gets challenged and Holy Spirit begins to become the fortification of the witness of the testimony of Jesus, the authority doesn't grow. There's no authority. There's an opportunity, but there's no authority. By revelation, Matthew 16, Peter said, you are the Christ. Jesus said, Simon, dude, you didn't get that from your smarts. Father revealed that to you. And I say to you, Simon, you're Peter. Revelation changes your identity. Changes your personal identity. You could have grown up being called a bastard. Stupid. Unpredictable. A failure. You'll never amount to anything. You could be called anything. But you hear and you see Jesus and your identity completely comes inside of Christ. You see, the inheritance that we're looking to inherit comes after the testing and it comes through the resurrection. So this identity thing is so huge. Think about it. What are you struggling with? It's about how you feel about yourself. And if you go looking externally, well, I should feel pretty good because I have a lot of money. I should feel pretty good because my kids are going good. Or, man, I feel terrible about myself because I'm broke. Oh, I just can't hardly go forward in life because I lost my firstborn, my only one, my Benjamin, my Joseph. What? Your identity is being challenged because it's not connected to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Jesus then says to Peter, okay, here's the deal, Peter. And all you guys, don't anybody talk about this truth. But let me tell you what's about to happen first. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'll be mistreated. I'll be troubled. I will be abused. I will be killed. But on the third day, I'll rise. Now, Peter, who's, you know the story, right? Peter's going, I just got a great revelation. You're the Christ. And that is not my interpretation of that revelation. My interpretation of the revelation is we're going to go to Jerusalem and kick butt. We're going to go take this land back. We're going to kick it out of the hand of Rome and put it back in the hand of the King of David. We're going to take over. You're going to be king, and I'm going to have a good seat. That is exactly what he's thinking because he's got his mindset on a man posturing, a planetary topography. He's trying to get a better seat. So Jesus has to rebuke him and says, Peter, get behind me, you Satan. One hand, he's commended for revelation. Now he's rebuked for because Satan is influencing him. And he says, why? You've got your soul set on the things of man. So here's the deal. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny your soul. You're going to have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. Because if you try to save your soul, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your soul for my name's sake, you'll find it. So Peter's just going, whoa. You think, come on, you guys. Is prayer supposed to be like, now I lay me down to sleep. May I have a good night. May I get some money tomorrow. And may nobody bother me. Please, amen. That's baby prayer. I got a mess in my pants. Thank God he cleans his messes in our pants. But after a while, he says, would you learn to use the toilet? Can we process some of this stuff in our own conversation? Do you always need me to fix it? I'm hungry. Well, why don't you pick up your Bible? I don't understand it. Really? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? That's too hard. How do I know if he's talking? Well, you'll feel good. You'll be full of peace. There'll be all kinds of joy. There'll be affirmation of your identity in Christ. There'll never be condemnation. There'll be never judgment. There'll never be accusation, only supernatural encouragement. Okay. Let's try it. It is that hard to start. It's like anything. Come on. Every one of you have an expertise. If you're in your 20s, by now you have an expertise. You can do something better than other people. You can sing better, play better. You can have fun better. You can work better. You thought, and you have expertise. Now, that expertise may have a part of gifting, but I know you will say it's also matured through practice. Without practice, it doesn't mature. So, real quick, because, oh, gosh. Go with me to Hebrews 5. I just close this thought, and then we'll pray. I jump like this because inside the Holy Spirit just starts moving. I start seeing so much that I just want to like say, okay, everybody off the Wi-Fi, get the Ethernet cable, plug this thing in. Jesus, John, Hebrews 5. This is so good. We'll keep up I just want you to see this because we're in a thought and it's a good, important thought. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm in Revelation. I will look at about, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 6. He also says in another place, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the inheritance Jesus steps into through the accomplishment of the following by faith, Father, voluntarily, willingly, submitting himself to be the sin sacrifice. His soul becomes the offering for sin. Now in the resurrection, he comes and he ascends, and he is now received in heaven with his blood. Not only the sacrifice, but now the high priest, according to our confession. He is administrating. He's glorious. But in the days of his flesh, which happen to be the days we're living in. How many are living in the days of your flesh? Right? That's because you're breathing. This is the day of our journey, our pilgrimage. He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. And it all culminates on Gethsemane, but it was through a journey of a lifetime. Because he was misunderstood from the day he was conceived. And he was accused of being something he wasn't from the day he was conceived. But it comes in the culmination of Gethsemane, and he's crying out with tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of godly fear. But did he get saved from death? No. Because that was the reason he came. I was telling someone the other day, I said, if you can learn to come into the presence of God in prayer and begin to agree with Jesus to the things he's revealed to you of himself and you and hold that place, then you can begin to have a right interpretation of where your present life is. Without the presence and without the promise, actively alive in your prayer experience with God, you don't have a good idea what's happening. But if you can come and begin to develop, and everyone can, because prayer is not just to get us out of messes and to get us into things we want. It is meant to bring us into a maturing conversation. We'll see in a minute. But watch this. If you can get into the presence and you begin to practice your confession of hope in the presence of God, who he says he is, who he says I am, who I believe, the promise he said, then in that place, I am able to see and think clearly and see and hear. And in that setting, God begins to say, this is necessary. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary. Meaning, in other words, you begin to realize my life's inside Scripture. I can't get out of the path that God has ordained for me. I can't make a shortcut to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I am inside of Scripture. And if I can yield again to the Scripture, I'm just okay. I'm not only okay, I'm terrific. I'm fabulous. I'm overcoming. I'm victorious. And there you are, back in your place. Ha, Shabba, Haki. Okay, but now Jesus, in the pinnacle of his testing, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. We'll often look at the word obedience as like, well, he must have really learned to do what God told him to do. Like, what I'm going to teach you to do, you won't be able to do unless I make you pay for it. It's going to cost you. It isn't where the word, it means to hearken, attentive hearkening. Attentive hearkening. He was the son, he had to learn to attentively hearken. Here's the promise. If you don't get delivered out of the problem you're in, you'll hear the voice of God in a better way than you've ever heard before. If you do not get out of your situation, it's how you can hear God's voice. If you hear God's voice, then you have ultimately gained the greatest thing you'll ever need, which is a new conversation, new promise, new place, new access. You're coming into a learning to hearken under. See, because your soul's screaming, I want out of here. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like these people. I don't like the way they treat me. Nobody values me. I want to be king. And God's saying, shut up. Follow me into my victory. Yeah, but it's ugly. It's a cross. It's ridicule. It's shame. It's confusion. It's nothing that I could see a king would have to go through. But follow me. And forgive everybody while you do it. And release everybody from their stuff. And don't try to control the rest of the group. Just release. Follow me. And you're doing this. That's maturity. That's where maturity is coming. And having been perfected, matured, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Ooh, what's that obey mean? It means it's root word of what he learned to do. He learned to have attentive hearkening, the verb, learning. This means to hear under. Every one of us have something spoken over us that we must submit to and be under it, of the voice of God, of the word of God. What God says of me, I must submit to in the conflict of the circumstances of life. And unless I go through the circumstances of life conflict and the accusation of the evil one and the confusion that if I go through and still hold the word, I don't get into the maturity. I don't come into the eternal salvation because I'm not walking through the same suffering that Jesus walked through, which was, I'm going to agree with my Father. We go, I'm going to agree with Jesus. Jesus said, I am in the Father is in me, and the words I speak are not of my own authority, but the Father in me, he does the works. We say, I'm abiding in Jesus, your words are abiding in me, and I bring these words before you in my fellowship, in prayer, in my confession of hope in your holy presence. Jesus did that every morning. Father, I was made from this. This was who I came from. This is my identity, heaven. And he lived there. That's what we learned to do. Once you taste it, it's better than Starbucks. It's better than anything that the planet has. It's because it's your identity. It's your destiny. It's your future. And all that happens is we learn to hear under. God was called as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And verse 11, we have much to tell you about him. But you can't, because by this time you ought to be all teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And therefore you're like, you need milk again, not solid food. And the reason that you is, verse 13, you never practice. It's all about practice. Practicing in prayer. Practicing the truth of God inside the presence of God in prayer. Until you become convinced of the truth of God in the presence of God, and sooner or later it starts to find its way out into the natural part of life. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. And that is those who by practice, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So they can begin to recognize the fluidness. This is the ministry of the Spirit we're in now, not the ministry of the law. So it's never the same. It's never the same. It's always Jesus, but it's never the same. And how do we get, we practice, we just, I want to bless you. I want to bless you with an activation by the Holy Spirit of your identity in Jesus Christ. I want to bless you today with the Abba Father come alive. It isn't maturing in knowledge that I go, I don't need to know the Abba Father because, you know, I just know I'm a son of God. Jesus in the Gethsemane said, Abba, Abba. You never lose your tenderness, never lose your intimacy, never lose the sweet center of your being. Ah, Father. But from there, yes, conflict is growing. Things are against you and fighting you and cursing you and challenging you. And you are meant to hold that confession of hope in the presence of God. And eventually the maturity takes over and then you're in inheritance. So stand together, please. Holy Father, I pray an activation of Holy Spirit affirmation of Jesus Christ within each of us. I pray a Holy Spirit activation of affirmation of Jesus Christ in each one of us. I pray that from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the remembering will come of what has already been said over us by God concerning us in His Son. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and we welcome you. We need you. We're desperate to experience renewed revelation of Jesus Christ. And go find us where we lost our way because of misinterpretation by our souls. Go find us where we've been shut down because our soul shut up, couldn't function, couldn't process, and just went into drama and trauma, massive trauma. But you are greater than trauma. You're resurrection life. You're resurrection life. Come, find us. Find everyone in this house, everyone online, everyone in this body. Come, find us and identify us in Christ and call Christ up and us out of where we got stuck in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You are able to do this. We glorify you for doing this. We welcome and we receive you doing this right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.